Good morning. I'm Lisa LeRoy, and I'm going to talk about evaluating the network. So, no disclosures. So, I'm going to just walk you through our thinking about the evaluation. We're going to just briefly go through the goals of the network, some background on evaluating collaborative networks, our evaluation design and theoretical framework, our logic model, and then our early evaluation findings. So you saw Anne talk about the two goals of the network, and one is to foster co-learning and collaboration among the 15 asthma research teams, all of whom are asking different questions and doing different kinds of research projects. And the second goal is to link the awardees with end users to increase the likelihood and the speed of uptake of findings. So we're sort of doing a lot of spade work on this evaluation, and I'm really interested in any feedback that anybody has, because evaluating collaborative networks is kind of a new thing. So the questions are, how do we define success, and what measures should we use? And we make the road by walking. I mean, we are just trying to build from other kinds of literature and other models to develop our evaluation. There's not really a robust model out there for how you evaluate collaboration. So these are some of the disciplines that we built on. We built on the whole idea of team science, and the techniques that we're using from these other disciplines are, you can see team science, we're using concept mapping and network analysis. Interdisciplinary research collaborations, we're looking at collaboration scales and analysis of research outputs like manuscripts, products, etc. We looked at the research to practice literature and did a logic model and are looking at pathway analyses, and then community-based participatory research, which utilizes case studies and qualitative data collection. So we're sort of borrowing from all of these traditions. And ultimately, what we determined is that our evaluation is a developmental evaluation. Evaluation is an integrated part of our team function, so we're trying to use what we learn in the evaluation to improve what we're doing for the network, so to improve our facilitation. The data sources, one of the things we didn't want to do was create additional burden on the research teams, so we're trying to utilize information that's being generated as part of the ongoing project. We're trying to think about new monitoring and data collection strategies as we go forward, you know, kind of what makes sense, where do we see the, you know, what's really giving us the information that we need. And we want to look at interactions among the different teams in the network and among the different stakeholders on those teams, which includes both patient partners and stakeholder partners. And as I said, we want to learn from the evaluation and implement into the network. So this is our logic model, and I'm just going to walk through a couple of, I know you probably can't read this, it's pretty small. I'm going to walk through a couple of the stages, and I'm only going to focus up to the short-term outcomes, because this is a three-year project, and so to see long-term outcomes would be very difficult. So the inputs are these 15 research teams. We started with 14, there's been another one funded. The facilitation team, and then PCORI does its own monitoring and reporting about the research projects, and many of these research teams have connections, pre-existing connections among themselves and prior collaborations. These are some of the activities that we've undertaken in the first year. You heard Anne talk about some of them, but we've put together affinity groups, we had an in-person meeting, we've done some webinars, the newsletter, created a website, we're working on patient stories, and just doing technical assistance as needed. And these are the kind of outputs that we either are seeing or hope to see. So meeting presentation panels like this one, where we bring together different members of the teams, maybe joint funding applications, you know, manuscripts, products, data harmonization, data standardization. We also want to see that all of the different types of participants on the research teams are involved. So it's, you know, PCORI has as part of its mission making sure that patient and stakeholders are involved in every aspect of the research. This is not easy. This is new. It's hard to know how to incorporate those voices. It's hard to know how to bring them to really be true partners. And we want to look and see, is that really happening? And then we want to see, you know, are there working groups that come out of the different interests and commonalities across the teams? And we want to look for peer-to-peer information sharing. So these are our short-term outcomes, so the knowledge and skills gained, increased connections, perceived value and influence of collaboration, doing research differently, and then end-user engagement with research team. And again, that's to facilitate the uptake of findings. So let me talk about what we've learned in year one, because we've just finished year one of the project. We did qualitative interviews with the research teams, with their patient partners, and there was a lot of enthusiasm for collaboration and the network, some difficulty understanding what the goals would be, concern about time and resources to spend on the network. There were challenges to network integration across various projects, and we heard from some of the research teams, well, our project is unique. Our study population is unique. What can we possibly learn from other teams? And then when we held some of these, our initial interviews, the research partners would be on the call with us, but not the other team members. And then there was concern about clarifying roles. So this was from a different data source. This was a web survey we did to look at social network analysis. And you can see on the top left-hand side that those were the connections among all of the teams. So that's sort of the consolidation. And then in the upper right-hand side, you see the connections among the researchers, very robust. The bottom left were the existing relationships among the patients and caregivers, so the patient partners. And then on the bottom right, the connections among the stakeholders. So the existing relationships were really driven by the researchers. And what we want to see over time is, will we see those bottom two networks grow? We also would like to see the research network grow, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the patients and stakeholder partners. We did another data source was an evaluation from the in-person meeting, and this is a quote from one of the patient partners. The sharing of the information across the network helps me know and feel more invested. I wasn't aware how large the network is. It will keep me interested to know it's large. Another data source is a project log. We have weekly team meetings among the facilitation team, and we each week say, "What was there any notable event this week? What happened?" And try to keep a log of those qualitative items. And so these are some examples. There's a principal investigator affinity group, and they decided to, all of them are behind in their study recruitment, some more than others. And so they decided to use their group to present to each other their recruitment challenges and help each other troubleshoot. We had a sustainability webinar where the teams who are really interested in making sure their interventions are sustainable helped each other share approaches about how they might do that. So the second big goal of the network is laying the groundwork for dissemination and use by end users. And these are two quotes just about how important it is to engage with end users. And by end users here, I'm talking about national end users, so not the members of the research teams, but external groups and organizations who could potentially uptake the findings. And what we're doing is just some really heavy-duty spade work. We are calling these national organizations. Our PCORI project officers already have connections with many of these end users, but we're calling them and saying, okay, we represent this ASMA Evidence to Action Network. Here's what some of the studies are about. what would be interesting to you? What do you care about? What aspect of asthma is important to you? And we've heard some interesting things, like we can't do anything with one study result. You know, it needs to be a synthesis across a number of studies. We really need to see something that's been in a peer-reviewed journal before we can uptake it. So a whole variety of different kinds of needs and desires on the part of end users. So do I have time for any clarifying questions? Any questions? We're really sort of creating this, and we're very interested in feedback on the evaluation. So I'd love to hear thoughts and ideas. Go ahead. That's a great question. I don't know if everybody heard that, but there's certain researchers that are sort of driving the connections in the network because they're very—they're already leaders in the field. We're trying to be very inclusive, but the idea is that to encourage people to take advantage of what those leaders know and the connections they already have, and try to, you know, the whole boat rises, right, when you can all take advantage of what the leaders have already accomplished. Thanks.